Pat Vitucci, program guests, and Craig Roberts are not affiliated with Proxy Freedom LLC or United Planners Financial Services unless otherwise noted on the show. Information provided for illustrative purposes only does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information obtained from sources deemed reliable, but accuracy and completeness not guaranteed. Proxy Freedom is not liable for any third-party content. Consult with qualified investment, tax, or legal professional prior to taking action. Advisory services offered through Proxy Freedom LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. Proxy Freedom and United Planners Financial Services are not affiliated.
Welcome to Don't Invest and Forget, a weekly financial news magazine designed to educate and equip you with the roadmap and direction you need to manage your money, meet your financial goals, and instill confidence in your investment choices on the road to retirement. Your host is author, radio commentator, Pat Vitucci, with over 30 years' experience in the world of finance and investment planning, with special emphasis on retirement planning. To gain more information about any of the topics discussed on today's program, go to don'tinvestandforget.com.
SoftBank posts $6.2 billion quarterly loss off the WeWork bankruptcy. Mortgage rates begin to ease, hopefully bringing back some demand in the real estate sector. And history suggests that following a dismal October, could there be a rally in store for us in the coming months? Some insights now as we're joined by our host, author, and industry veteran, Pat Vitucci, on this edition of Don't Invest and Forget. Well, Pat, certainly no lack of interesting news this week in the world of money, and perhaps one of the more fascinating stories is the announcement of the WeWork bankruptcy, which, deja vu all over again. I thought they had gone through bankruptcy once before. Maybe it was just reorganization, but clearly suggesting that there was lacking due diligence here, apparently, with the kind of losses that SoftBank has suffered trying to prop this business up.
You know, Craig, you and I talked several years ago about the whole WeWork business model. We were both quite concerned about the margins, even in the best of markets, for a business model like WeWork. But apparently, the SoftBank management team went gaga over this whole WeWork idea, talking about this is the vision of the future and this is the way people are going to work. And here we are several years later, where the losses are in the billions. Just this past quarter, SoftBank lost $6.2 billion, principally based on the whole WeWork investment. It was incredible to novices like you and I looking at this whole idea of slicing and dicing up office space and then releasing it to the ultimate customer and then picking off the difference in terms of getting a lease from the major landlord of any building. And it just never occurred to you and I that this kind of thing would have any kind of sustainability. And SoftBank recorded a loss of 234 billion yen for the half year period related to the investments and financial services. So we've got some serious numbers here. Listen to this one. SoftBank's flagship tech investment arm had a rough time in the fiscal year ended March of this year, posting a record loss of $32 billion with a B dollars. Those are serious, serious dollars. The Japanese investment folks who thought this was the greatest thing since sliced bread, I'm sure, are having second thoughts about that. In any event, October was pretty dismal, and that's kind of classic for the month of October and September, but stocks gained 5.3% in the next 6 months following a bad October. That's historically what happens. No idea what's going to happen in the next 6 months, but the market has been doing pretty darn well in the last several weeks, and so we're hoping that the next 6 months looks a little bit more attractive. Every major banking institution around the globe has put a pause on raising interest rates, including our Federal Reserve. So the question is, will these rates be just higher for longer, or at the turn of the year, will we begin to see a reduction in rates? Interestingly, mortgage rates dropped this past week from 7.8 and change down to 7.6 and change. So that led to a little bit of an increase in applications for mortgages. Is this the beginning of a trend toward lower numbers? We shall see. But certainly with the presidential election season in full swing now is certainly something that we'll watch with a close eye. Citicorp going through some serious issues, Craig. Their new CEO, Jan Fraser, looking to overhaul, perhaps eliminate as many as 10% of their workforce out of 240,000. That's 24,000 folks who may end up losing their jobs. She said something like, we'll be saying goodbye to some very talented and hardworking colleagues, but clearly the bottom line numbers need to come more in line with the expectations. She's calling this new overhaul Project Bora Bora. I'm not sure how that relates to cutting heads, but we'll watch carefully over the next quarter or two how she executes on this reducing headcount. By every metric, the bank has fallen further behind all their rivals. So we're going to see how Citicorp works through the magic of right-siding that firm. We saw mortgage applications, Craig, rise this week. It only took 0.20 basis points to see a little bit of an uprise. We're up just 2%. So not a significant rise in mortgage applications. After all, the overall average mortgage out there is right around 4%. So you're not going to get any refi requests. That's for darn sure. It's all about interest rates and what's the interest rate that's going to turn the magic around. Inflation is coming more in line with historically where we've been. It's got a long way to go, but we're certainly down from the 8-9% numbers. So we'll watch that with bated breath. That's kind of the key thing. And oil certainly is a key issue. I filled my tank up the other day. It was right around $6.05. So I was jealous when I heard in Texas, I think it's something like $2.89 for a gallon of gas. Our governor saying, you know, it's really profit-taking at the oil company level. Well, how come in Texas, oil companies reside there, and it's $2.89 there, and it's over $6 in our great state?
They don't want to mention about the winter versus the summer gas formulas in California. They don't want to mention about the high cost of taxes that are added on to every gallon. That's kind of the dirty little secret I think the governor would rather not have be made public.
I saw something like in the average state in this country for a gallon of gas, state taxes around 30 cents. In our state, it's like $1.29. I mean, give me a break. I'm not a mathematician, but that's pretty easy to compute, right?
Pat, give us some insight on an issue that you touched on briefly, and that is we're beginning to see some downsizing. You gave the story of what's happening at Citi. There's certainly also been some downsizing taking place in the tech sector. One of the issues that the Fed has been looking to accomplish is a cooling of the economy. And once we began to see a bit of a slide in the unemployment rate, that would then suggest that their efforts to try and stave off runaway inflation, as you point out, we had seen a peak back in June of a year ago at 9.1%. That has eased pretty significantly. It's not at the target rate of 2. September number was 3.7%. But as we begin to see more layoffs, both in the banking sector and the tech sector, does this suggest that the Fed's efforts are working? And if so, would you anticipate at the dawn of 2024, we've seen a pause here over the last several months, would you anticipate maybe Q1, Q2 of next year that the Fed might even begin to reverse some of the rate increases that we've experienced, 11 over what, the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think there's no question. It's all going to be data-driven. Inflation numbers, unemployment numbers, GDP are all key indicators that the Federal Reserve watch very carefully. There's probably 100 other key indicators, but the major ones are the ones I just mentioned. And there's no question if these numbers come in a much more favorable basis. And, you know, the bad news is good news. So if unemployment goes up, that means the economy is slowing. That means inflation is declining. All that will suggest a reduction in the Federal Reserve rates in the first quarter or two of 2024.
You been listening to Don't Invest and Forget with Pat Fitucci. To gain more information about any of the topics discussed on today's program, or to schedule your appointment for a no-obligation financial plan tune-up in one of the Bay Area offices of Proxy Freedom near you, go to don'tinvestandforget.com. That's don'tinvestandforget.com. Or call 888-PLAN-WISE. That's 888-PLANWISE. Or visit don'tinvestandforget.com.
Pat Fitucci, program guests, and Craig Roberts are not affiliated with Proxy Freedom LLC or United Planners Financial Services unless otherwise noted on the show. Information provided for illustrative purposes only. Does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information obtained from sources deemed reliable, but accuracy and completeness not guaranteed. Proxy Freedom is not liable for any third-party content. Consult with qualified investment, tax, or legal professional prior to taking action. Advisory services offered through Proxy Freedom LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. Proxy Freedom and United Planners Financial Services are not affiliated.